welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, and coming up in this hour, a lot of laughs from two famous sitcoms. Later on, Ronald and Benita Coleman star in The Halls of Ivy. But right now, William Bendix stars in The Life of Riley, a broadcast first heard on NBC live on April 26, 1947.
The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley. If Chester A. Riley could have one wish, he'd probably wish he could have 1,000 eyes. Then he could keep one eye on his daughter Babs and the others on Babs' 999 boyfriends, none of whom, according to Riley, are up to any good. For instance, the other night...
Hiya, Dumplin', I'm home.
Oh, it's you, dear.
Yeah, who did you think it was?
Well, for a minute I could have sworn it was Cary Grant.
Really? You know, I always thought I looked like Cary Grant.
Then the light hits your face.
Oh, is that so? There ain't such a big difference between Cary Grant's face and mine. We both got a deep cleft, ain't we?
Yes, dear. But his cleft is in his chin and yours is in your head.
I resent that, Peg.
Oh, you're so conceited. I was bowling tonight.
Oh, I was great. I bowled Ed Mitchell from the plant, and boy, did I beat him. Look, I got a new style, you see? I hold the bowling ball like this and stand back.
Now, don't bowl that ball. You wake Junior.
Oh, are the kids asleep already?
Well, Junior is. Babs is out.
Out? Out where?
Well, Simon Vanderhopper.
What? Didn't I tell Babs to stay away from that no-good loafer?
Now, don't start that again. Simon's a nice boy.
Some boy. 21 years old and he still plays hopscotch.
Oh, he does not.
He does so. And what's more, he cheats. That's why he always beats me. If that Simon don't stay away from our Babs, I'll murder him.
Oh, now you don't mean that.
No, no, of course not. Only Babs and Simon are too young to be out alone.
But they are not. Don't you remember when we were their age?
Well, sure I remember.
You called for me every Saturday night and took me to the movies.
Yeah, Dumplin.
Then you bought me a soda.
Yeah, honey.
And after that, we'd go through the park and sit down on that bench where it was so dark.
Yeah, sweetheart.
Well, they're only doing what we did.
I'll murder that Simon. If I ever see him around here again, I'll...
Hello, Mother. Hi, Daddy.
Good evening, Mrs. Riley. Good evening, Mr. Riley, sir.
Simon, I'm going to settle something right now. Mrs. Riley here thinks that you're okay to go out with Babs. What's your opinion?
Mrs. Riley is a very intelligent woman.
Please, Peg. Simon, I've studied you like a worm studies a book. I know the kind of type of boy you are, and I just want to ask you one question. What are your intentions towards my daughter?
My intentions? I want to marry her.
I knew you were up to no good. Simon, get out of this house.
You treated Simon last night.
Yes, throwing that poor boy out of the house.
Now, please, Peg. I don't want to hear no more talk about that sofa loafer. Oh. If Simon settles down and gets a decent job, I'll maybe let him see bed. Until then, I don't want him to set foot in this house again, and that's an order.
A what?
A request. I gotta go now. Goodbye, Dumplin. Goodbye, Babs.
Bye. Oh, gee, I'll be late for school.
Oh, Riley.
Yeah?
On your way home, stop at the meat market and get 7 lamb chops for dinner.
Oh, hey, that reminds me. I'm eating dinner out tonight.
Oh, you are? Mm. Oh, well, then I'll only need 3 chops for dinner. Well, I'll get it myself, dear. Goodbye.
Oh, wait a minute, Peg. Ain't you even going to ask me who I'm eating dinner out with?
Well, it must be one of the boys from the plant. Who else could it be?
Well... No, I might be having dinner with some gorgeous blonde.
You?
Oh, so you think I ain't cute enough for another woman to have dinner with me, huh?
Oh, now don't get insulted, Cary. Oh, of course you are. But don't ever let me catch you with another woman.
Peg, you mean that you'd be jealous?
Insanely jealous. Why, I'd scratch the hussy's eyes out.
You would? Honest?
And as for you, I'd shoot you.
Oh, you don't know how happy that makes me, Peg.
So you watch yourself.
Oh, you bet. Gee, I'd feel terrible if you turned out to be a widow. But you don't have to worry. I beat Ed Mitchell bowling, so he's buying me dinner at the Cozy Corner Grill.
Well, that's a load off my mind.
But you don't have to worry about me and other women. You know that.
Of course. Why, if a pretty woman ever made advances to you, I'm sure you'd repulse them.
You can bet on it. When it comes to pretty women, no one can be more repulsive than I am.
Now, sir.
Oh, are you the waiter?
No, I'm the maitre d'.
Oh, no, I'll order later, mater. I'm waiting for a friend to get here.
Yes, sir. The waiter will look after you when you're ready.
Ah, let's see this menu. Gee, what an appetite I get when someone else is paying to...
How do you do? I'm Muriel Evans.
Well, I'm Chester Riley. How do you do? I'm afraid you're taking the advantage of me.
I'm Ed Mitchell's girlfriend.
Oh, Miss Evans. I remember now. Ed Joe was talking about you. And you know, you're almost as pretty as he said you are. I mean, prettier. Say, where's Ed?
Oh, he's tied up at the plant. I was supposed to meet him here and have dinner with the two of you, but he just phoned that he can't make it.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, maybe some other time, huh?
Oh, wait. As long as we're here, we might as well eat.
No, I think I'd better not.
Ed said to tell you he'll reimburse you for the check.
Well, let's eat.
Mom, this is a tempting menu. Roast duckling.
Miss Evans.
Oh, call me Muriel.
Well, look, Muriel, you think this is okay, us eating here?
Why not?
Well, I just remembered, I'm a married man.
I know, Chester. Ed and I plan to be married as soon as he gets his promotion at the plant.
Well, I guess it can't hurt just to eat.
You must be a very devoted husband, Chester.
Oh, you bet I am. I'm nuts about my wife. And she's insane about me, too. Why, only this morning she said... I'd better go.
Oh, sit down. Here's the waiter.
You ready to order, sir?
Mr. Riley!
Simon! What are you... Simon! Get out of this restaurant!
I can't. I work here. I did what you told me. I got a job.
Oh.
Well, shall we order?
Oh, you're together?
Well, you see, Simon...
What are you having, Chester?
Chester?
Look, Simon, I just... Ed Mitchell...
You sure know how to pick him.
But I did. She picked me. Let's order.
I think I'll have the number one dinner, and for dessert, I'd like a sundae of some kind.
May I recommend the Lover's Delight?
Simon, please.
Well, you're home early, dear.
Yeah, Dumplin'. Oh, hello, Dad.
Hi, Daddy. Did you have a nice dinner with Ed?
Who? Oh, Ed, yeah. Yes, it was great. Look, Peg, there's something I got to tell you. You see, Ed made the statement.
Well, where'd you eat, Daddy?
At the Cozy Corner. You see...
Why, that's where Simon works.
Yeah, he saw me. Look, Peg, about
Simon
Ed...
Simon says the Cozy Corner's terribly romantic. Soft lights and little booze for couples. Simon's going to write a novel about it. A few months ago, a woman shot her husband there. With another woman in one of those booths.
Well, I can't say I blame her.
Now, wait a minute, Peg. Be fair. Suppose this husband had to meet some man, and instead this other woman showed up. Then he'd be innocent.
Oh, Riley, what wife in her right mind would believe a silly excuse like that?
You wouldn't, huh?
What were you going to tell me about Ed before?
Oh, nothing. By the way, Peg, whatever happened to that old gun I had?
Oh, let's see. Well, I think it's in...
Oh, I'll go.
Good evening, folks.
Simon.
Now, please don't make a scene, Daddy.
Oh, well, me make a scene? Well, what gave you that idea? Well, come in. Come in, Simon, darling.
Well, I've seen everything.
How are you, my lovable boy?
Fine. How are you, Mr. Riley?
Simon, this is no time for music.
Well, how's the job, Simon?
Fine, but my feet are killing me.
Oh, you poor boy. Sit down. Peg, where's your manners? Get up and let Simon sit down.
Huh?
Here, let me take your shoes off, Simon. Babs, go get Simon my slippers. Peg, get Simon a piece of cake.
Well, we're out of cake.
Well, don't just stand there. Go bake one. In the meantime, have one of these chocolates, Simon.
Thanks.
Mmm, they're good.
So here, take the whole box, pal.
I must be dreaming.
Well, anything interesting happened at the restaurant today, Simon?
Did your father tell you I waited on him? Say, Mr. Riley, you certainly...
Oh, Riley, stop stuffing chocolates in his mouth.
Peg, I've got to talk to Simon private. Excuse me. In here, Simon.
But, Daddy...
We'll just be a minute. Listen, Simon, you mustn't tell about me and that woman.
What woman? Oh, in the restaurant. I wasn't going to tell.
Oh, well, you see, my wife might not understand. Not that I got anything to hide. It was all an accident.
Come, come. You can be frank with me. I'm a man of the world.
Honest, Simon,
I'm... Don't worry. Your secret will die with me.
Good, but when? I mean, well, thanks, Simon. You're okay, son. 9 out of 10 guys, if they had me in a spot like this, they'd blackmail me.
They would? Well.
Well, let's go back in.
Mr. Riley.
Yeah?
I'd like to take Babs to the movies tomorrow. Could you lend me a dollar?
Well, sure, sure. Anything for you, Simon. Here, all I got is a $10 bill. Well, take it and bring me the change.
Thanks. Mr. Riley, could I take Babs to the country club dance on Saturday?
Oh, sure, sure.
Then there won't be any change.
But, Simon, you... Who wants change?
You're a pal, Mr. Riley. And say, I want to thank you for encouraging me to go to work. It's a swell job.
Yeah, and the way things are going, it's the best paying job you ever had.
Chester Riley, this has got to stop. I'm sick and tired of having that Simon around here morning, noon, and night.
But, Peg, I...
So am I, Daddy. I don't mind him once in a while, but every day.
But, Peg...
I can't understand you, Riley. Why this sudden affection for Simon?
Well, I got a reason.
Well, what is it?
Nothing. It's just that I feel sorry for the boy. You know, he's an orphan.
Why, he is not. He's got a mother and a father.
Yeah, but only one of each. I mean, they're in Chicago, and after all...
Oh, it's ridiculous the way he's taken over this house. Yesterday, just because he likes it, I had to make spaghetti for breakfast. Now, you get rid of him.
Okay, I'll talk to him tomorrow. Tonight, he's got a date with Babs. He's taking her to the country club dance.
He is not. I'm going with Freddie.
Well, let Simon go along, too. Freddie will love him.
Oh, Riley, if you don't do...
Hi, folks.
Oh, Simon... Simon, what are you doing with that suitcase?
Well, you know me, always on the move. So this morning I gave up my room.
You see, Peg, he's moving out of town. Goodbye, Simon.
Oh, no. I'm moving in here.
In here?
In here, Simon?
Well, you've got a spare room, and you folks have been so nice to me lately. I know you wouldn't mind giving me a cozy corner. Am I right, Mr. Riley?
Now, wait a minute, Simon. You can't move. There's a limit to what... Just because you think that I... Welcome home, Simon. Oh, what a mess. That's Simon. Oh, I'll never be in any deeper than I am right now.
Would you care to bet?
Who's that?
It is I, Digby Odell, the friendly undertaker.
Oh, hello, Digger.
Greetings, Riley. You're looking fine. Very natural.
What are you doing around here, Digger?
Oh, I've just come from the opening game of the season of the Morticians Baseball League. The San Diego Groundhogs played the Hollywood Gophers. What a game.
Did you play?
Yes, but not in the outfield as usual. This time, I was in the box. I pitched magnificently. 18 men died on first.
Well, gee, that's real pitching.
I shut them in, 1-0.
You mean you shut them out.
You keep score your way, I'll keep score my way. And in the 9th, we had a fight with the umpire. 6 of us carried him to the dugout. Here's a ticket for our next game. Watch for the day. The 7th of May.
Well, I'm not in the mood for baseball, Digger. You see, I'm in trouble. That pet, Simon, saw me having dinner with another woman.
What? You went out with another woman? Oh, I'm mortified. Who is this woman? What is her phone number? I must warn her to leave you alone.
Well, wait a minute, Digger. It isn't what you think.
It's wrong, Riley. And dangerous, too. As we say in our profession, many a man has strayed from his wife, and wifey shot the rotter. So, hubby, don't stray from your fireside, or you'll land in a place that's hotter.
But there was nothing to it. This is my friend's girl. At the last minute, he couldn't make dinner, so...
Oh, I see. Well, there's nothing wrong in that. Go to your dear spouse. Tell her the truth.
But, Digger, she's very jealous. She once said she'd shoot me if I two-timed her.
Nonsense. She'll trust you. You'll see. Tomorrow you'll come to me and tell me I was right.
But suppose you're wrong.
Then I'll come to you. Now go home and be happy.
Oh, gee, you're a wonderful guy, Digger. You're always doing things for me. Just once, I'd like to do something for you.
Don't worry. Your time will come. Well, cheerio. I'd better be shoveling off.
Hello, Simon Van Harper speaking. No, Mr. Riley isn't in. Oh, Muriel Evans. Sure, I give him a message. What? You want him to meet you at the cozy corner for dinner tonight at 7? No, I won't forget. Goodbye. I'd better make a note of it on this pad. Meet you know who at the cozy corner at 7 for dinner.
And he said there was nothing to it.
Oh, hello, Mr. Riley.
Simon, get out of this house.
Mr. Riley, she just phoned.
I don't want to hear no... Who phoned?
That woman, you know, Muriel.
Muriel?
She says to meet her at the cozy corner for dinner at 7. It's important.
Dinner? What does she want? No, she'll never get me.
You better meet her, or she might come here.
Yeah, I'll go now. Why don't these women leave me alone? Oh, Simon, you're lucky you weren't born with my looks.
Riley, we're home. Riley. Well, I guess he isn't home yet.
Oh, that man's never on time for dinner. I wish
for
once...
Oh, Mother, look. There's a note on the telephone pad.
Oh, let me see. Meet... You know who at the cozy corner... Oh, the darling. He's taking me out to dinner tonight.
Hello, Ed. This is Muriel. Look, I'm meeting your friend Riley at 7. Won't you change your mind, darling, and join us? All right, I'll ask him myself. What? Well, I'll tell him we can't afford to get married until you get a promotion, and he could put in a good word for you with the boss. Now, don't worry. Just leave it to me, Angel.
Is this table okay, Mr. Riley? It's our most secluded corner.
Yeah, fine. Now, look, Simon, Muriel will be here soon. Now, I want to get this meal over fast.
Yes, sir. I'll give you 2 number 7 blue plates right away.
Let's see. If I eat in 3 minutes, I can run home and only be an hour late. I'll tell Peg...
Hello, sweetheart.
Oh, hello, Muriel. Peg! What are you... How did you...
Oh, my goodness, you act as if you didn't expect me.
Oh, no. I'm pleased to meet you.
Well, here's your fruit. Mrs. Riley!
But for heaven's sake, why is everybody so surprised to see me?
Here's your fruit cup, Mr. Riley.
Oh, you ordered already. Good, I'm starved.
Do you mind if I start, Peg?
Mr. Riley, Muriel's here. She's at the corner table in the rendezvous room.
I gotta get rid of her.
What are you two whispering about?
Nothing. Excuse me, Peg. I gotta make a phone call.
All right, dear.
Listen, Muriel.
Oh, here you are, Chester. Thanks for coming.
Now, listen, Muriel. I want to get one thing straight.
Ready to order?
No,
Let's order first. I'm starved.
Well, I'll have something light and fast.
Same for me.
2 number 7 dinners coming right up.
I bet you're wondering why I asked you to have dinner with me.
Well, I got an idea.
Well, that'll make it easier. I know I've only met you once, but when a girl is anxious to get married like I am, well, she'll do anything.
Now, wait, Muriel.
Here's your fruit cup. Here's your fruit cup, and I brought you soup, too.
Look, Muriel, we gotta be sensible.
Let's eat first.
Oh, okay, let's eat.
My goodness, you eat fast.
Yeah. Pass me my soup.
Here you are.
Thanks.
My, you must be starved.
There. Finished. Excuse me, Muriel. I gotta make a phone call.
Well, it's about time you got back, Riley. Here, you better eat your soup. It's getting cold.
No, thanks, Peg. I just had my soup.
Where? In the phone booth?
I mean, pass me that spoon.
Oh, Riley, your manners. Remember, you're in a restaurant, not at home.
Well, what's wrong? I ain't wearing my hat.
Here's your hamburger.
Oh, good.
Riley, for heaven's sake.
What's wrong?
You swallowed that hamburger in 2 bites. What's the matter with you? You're nervous. Who did you speak to on that phone?
Nobody. It was the wrong number. I better try again. Excuse me, Peg. Look, Muriel.
Oh, you weren't very long.
Muriel,
sit down and eat your hamburger.
I couldn't touch it.
Oh, come on. You've only had soup.
Yeah, but so often.
What?
Okay.
You'll get indigestion eating so fast. Delicious, isn't it? But it's much too much for me. Here, you take half of mine.
No.
I insist.
No.
Well, now, Chester, to get to the point, like I told you, I want to get married. But Ed doesn't make enough money.
Well, I don't make much more than he does. And I may get a cut. Besides, I'm already married. And
you ready for your dessert, folks?
No, we ain't staying. Give me the check.
Here you are. $475.
Let me see now. I was sure I had some money.
But, Chester, I haven't had time to tell you.
I didn't bring any money with me.
So here you are, Riley.
Peg, can you lend me $475? I want to pay for Muriel's din, 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 din.
Chester Riley.
Peg.
What's the matter? Who is this lady, Chester?
She's my wife.
And who is this lady, Riley?
She wants to be my wife.
What? Why, that... Oh, Chester, you must be crazy. Where'd you get an idea like that?
Oh, it's no use denying it, Muriel. Peg, I had nothing to do with it. She just couldn't resist me.
Oh, Chester, you've got it all wrong. I'm going to marry Ed Mitchell. I just want you to put in a good word for him with your boss so he can get a promotion. Oh, Riley.
Wait a minute. You mean you didn't fall for me, Muriel?
Of course not.
You don't want to marry me?
I'm afraid not.
What a revolting development this is.
And now a word from the star of our show, the man who makes Riley so smiley, William Bendix.
Folks, daylight saving time begins tomorrow in many areas. And if your community does not change to daylight saving time, next week we'll be with you 1 hour earlier than tonight. So please remember... not to forget to remember. 1 hour earlier. Good night.
Procter & Gamble, makers of Dreft, the cleansing miracle for soaps, nylons, woolen fishes, invites you to be their guest next week to hear The Life of Riley with William Bendix as Riley.
The Life of Riley, on Tuned to Yesterday from April 26th, 1947 on NBC. Alan Lipscott was part of the writing team for that episode and on radio wrote exclusively for the series. A year before the radio show's end, he was part of the TV series, which began in 1949 and would go on to finish out his writing career in television, penning episodes of Bachelor Father, The People's Choice, How to Marry a Millionaire, and The Donna Reed Show. You're listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier. And now Ronald and Benita Coleman star in The Halls of Ivy. This NBC broadcast first heard on January 27th, 1950.
The Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
Good evening, this is Ronald Coleman.
And Benita Coleman.
Inviting you to join us again on the campus of Ivy College. Now, the Halls of Ivy.
Welcome again to Ivy. Ivy College, that is, in the town of Ivy, USA. Most institutions such as Ivy seem quickly to acquire an atmosphere of age and permanence, so much so that it's hard to imagine the day when they were brash new infants in the field of education. But everything good has a beginning, and Ivy's beginning is commemorated each year at the annual Founders Day celebrations. This year's honored guest is Ivy's oldest living alumnus, Silas Livingston, who arrived late last night at the home of President William Todd Hunter Hall. And so we find Dr. Hall's lovely wife, Victoria, quietly planning a breakfast tray in the kitchen.
Now, let me see. I think I'll give him one soft scrambled egg, the toast, the fruit juice, farina, and green tea. Toddy, if you were 91 years old, is that about what you'd like for breakfast?
Victoria, my love, when I am 91 and you are a girl of, say...
Easy does it. I'll never admit to more than 73.
And you are a slip of a girl of 73. Mm. Breakfast will no longer be eaten. Meals will be a matter of chemically concentrated food. A red capsule for breakfast, a white capsule for lunch, a blue capsule for dinner.
And for political banquets, all of them. And 3 cheers for the red, white, and blue. Anyway, there won't be any more jokes about the bride's biscuits.
No, the comedians will have to modernize.
Mm.
They'll do things like, Mary has a little lamb and thinks that it perhaps will end its days like beef and ham compressed into a capsule.
Oh, I do think that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, well, anyway, I think that's about what Mr. Livingston would enjoy for his breakfast. Poor old boy. He certainly looked tired when he arrived here last night. Like a little baby deprived of its sleep.
Oh, that's an unkind comparison. A baby is notoriously the most greedy, egocentric, and grasping of organisms. even while it is being tenderly talcumed. It is plotting how it can snatch your eyeglasses, eat the nearest safety pin, and scream with rage when unable to bite off its own toe. I love them. I find them irresistible.
Yeah, I suppose nature made them so cuddly to compensate for taking advantage of us. Yeah, by the way, do we have Mr. Livingston all day, or does Mr. Wellman help to unroll the red carpet?
Oh, I'm afraid Mr. Wellman is too busy playing host to a small virus which has taken up a homestead in his left bronchial tube.
Oh. It seems almost unfair to use penicillin on a little virus brave enough to attack our Clarence.
Well, Mr. Wellman appears to be convinced that it was through some witchcraft that he was victimized.
Oh.
I think he believes the virus was an intimate friend of mine. Sent on a mission of personal vengeance. Well, I tried to explain that I was... But not, I'll get it, Vicky.
Hello, Bill. How are you this fine Founder's Day? And where is your lovely, your beautiful, your magnificent wife? I saw the sunrise this morning, and I want to tell her how unfavorably it compared with her.
Hello, Charles. I'm fine in the living room.
You're fine in the living room? That's great. But how are you in the kitchen? Hello, Mrs. Hall.
Hello, Mr. Merriweather. How are you?
Never better. Although I'd like to know just why I'm whispering like this.
No. It was just in the hall. Mr. Livingston is still asleep in the guest room.
And we don't want to wake him up.
Ah, well, bless his little old arteries. He gave me the excuse for coming over to see you so early in the day. Before Mr. Wellman took to his little trundle bed yesterday with what passes in him for a fever, and with him 106 is normal, our board chairman appointed me his deputy for the Founder's Day caper.
Why, that's splendid, Charles. And did Mr. Wellman impress upon you the necessity of dignity in honoring our venerable graduate of the class of 1880?
And did his voice thicken with emotion as he contemplated the years of Ivy history represented by Silas Livingston?
Yes, ma'am. With his head thick with emotion, or something, he briefed me. Said he, trembling with hope and avarice, Merriweather, he said, you'll answer for it if that refugee from a mausoleum gives this college less than $25,000.
Mr. Wellman is going to leave no living stone unturned, is he?
Well, in that calculating machine which serves Clarence for a heart, we must recognize a certain amount of sentiment, ma'am. And with him, 100 sentiments equals $1. Now, what's first on the entertainment schedule for our rollicking relic, Bill?
The Grand Tour. Huh. A ride around the campus in the president's car. You know, the state vehicle that doubles as a grocery wagon when Vicky goes shopping.
Yeah. Oh, Toddy, before we go, remind me to take the laundry out of the car and also replace the back seat.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes, Mr. Livingston wouldn't see much of the campus sprawled on the floor on the back of the car, would he?
Well, perhaps someday Ivy will have an official limousine for these occasions. Chauffeur-driven. With me sitting on a little platform with a megaphone. Dispensing historical data and campus gossip. There'll be a small placard which says, please do not tip the guide. Over which I will hang my overcoat.
Well, I'll have to go now, but I'll see you tonight. With Clarence being sick, I have to read his speech. And I hereby serve notice that I'm going to boff it up with a few yawks. At present, it sounds like a farewell address written by a manic depressive Aztec just before jumping into a flaming volcano.
Well, any humor you can inject into the proceedings will be welcome, Charles.
Yes, you go ahead and yawk it up. I'll be in the audience leading the clack.
Thank you, ma'am. It's only my lumbago which keeps me from kissing the hem of your garment. Just remember to save a few dances for me at the student ball tonight.
Well, of course I will.
See you later.
Yes, goodbye, Charles. You know, I'm sure he came over here to let us know that he has no intention of playing panhandler for Clarence Wellman, who is convinced that in my usual inept way, I will fail to extract some money from Mr. Livingston.
He doesn't seem to realize that with the mosquitoes out of season, one doesn't put the bite on a house guest.
Of course not. We can't put a price tag on hospitality.
No.
Besides, it was not... Now, who can that be?
Well, I'll get it, Toddy. I just hope all this commotion doesn't disturb Mr. Livingston. Mr. Livingston!
Howdy, ma'am. I see you folks are up and about.
Well, Mr. Livingston, I don't recall having locked you out last night, so could it be that you...
It could be. I'm an old farmer, Dr. Hall. While there wasn't any rooster to wake me up this morning, there were some mighty pretty little hens walking around the campus. So I I went out to check the chickens.
They tell me that every American boy at one time or another wears a little celluloid badge that says chicken inspector. You just kept yours longer than most people.
Well, it's an American tradition to keep an appreciative eye on our poultry, Mr. Livingston. After all, this country was founded on a Plymouth Rock.
Anyway, I tried to get out as quietly as I could. I didn't want to wake you. Young folks like you need your sleep.
But I was waiting to send up your breakfast.
Yeah, figured you were, girlie, figured you were. Soft eggs, soft cereal, soft words. Can't stand any of them. So I stopped at that stand on the road a piece and had a hamburger and onion as thick as a double eagle. And a cup of coffee strong as a good Jersey bull.
Well, as a matter of fact, Mr.
There's a lot of improvements around here, including co-education. That little co helps in education, I think. Yes, sir. Co is an abbreviation for company, and everybody needs it. Oh, excuse me for interrupting you, Dr. Hall. Rude habit of mine. When you're 91, you haven't got time to listen to other people talking. You never know when you'll be interrupted for the last time, so. Oh, see, Mrs. Hall. Well, you're a real cute girl. Last night, you weren't standing in the light where I could see you.
Oh, Mr. Livingston, I'm beginning to think it's a good thing this college wasn't co-educational when you were here. It wasn't ready for you.
What's on the schedule today, Mr. President?
After a ride around the campus, which, as you've already noticed, has changed considerably since 1880, we shall visit the chapel, where the student body will assemble to meet you. Then we will proceed to... Excuse me, Mr. Livingston. Dr. Hall speaking. Oh, yes, Mr. Wellman, how are you? Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Ah, you've heard about it. Yes, it's true, but I didn't let him out, Mr. Wellman. He went out by himself. Yes, and he had a hamburger for breakfast. Well, just a moment. With piccalilli?
With piccalilli. Yeah. And mustard and onion and ketchup.
With everything. Oh, yes, he's here. Why, certainly. One moment. Mr. Wellman would like to talk to you, Mr. Livingston.
This is Silas Livingston. Who are you? Oh, chairman of the board, eh? Now, wait a minute, young fella. You talk too much and too fast. There you are, lying sick of bed, and you're trying to tell me how to take care of myself. That's enough now. You've got to learn how to relax, or you'll burn yourself out before you're 80. I say that's enough. Goodbye.
Oh, Mr. Livingston, if this keeps up, I hope you live to be 150.
Well, I intend to, girlie. I intend to. He wants something from me, that young fella. And I'll bet it's money.
Well, how can you tell on such a short acquaintance?
Oh, Victoria, Mr. Livingston is a farmer. He's been around domesticated animals long enough to know when they are looking for a little sugar.
Yes, sir, they sort of sashay up to you real winsome, like you were the best friend. And if you haven't got an apple in your hand, they give you a soft, reproachful look and try to kick your head off.
Well, in all fairness to Mr. Wellman, I must say that he has never realized the truth of the old adage that just because you raise a little cane doesn't mean you end up with a lot of sugar.
Yeah, maybe so. But I sure would like to see that boy's face when he finds out that the only green stuff I've got grows on my farm.
Well, he'll have to find it out for himself. We aren't going to tell him.
And now, if it pleases you, Squire Livingston, the gas-powered surrey awaits without. My wife and I will be pleased to show you the garden in which we labor, for it can truly be said that a university must also be dedicated to growth and change, or it, too, can become a wasteland.
We admit to being a little sentimental about this college, Mr. Livingston. As the poet said, here the heart may give a useful lesson to the head, and learning wiser grow without his books.
What poet was that, Mrs. Hall?
William Cowper.
Cooper, darling. It is spelled Cowper, but pronounced Cooper.
Charlie, only just the other day, I heard you call him Cowper.
Oh, I know, my dear. I sometimes do. Confusion dating back to my student days in your lovely country. There was an old Scots professor, Angus McLaren. When he was challenged with his pronunciation of Cowper, he would say, "My lads, I come fra Aberdeen. And until you learn to call a cow a coo in the Highlands, I prefer to call a coo a cow while I'm wasting my time south of the border with you young heathens."
Voice of America is bringing you this representation of The Halls of Ivy, starring Mr. and Mrs. Ronald Coleman.
As we return to The Halls of Ivy, it's the evening of the same day. We find Dr. and Mrs. Hall and Mr. Merriweather on the sidelines of the Founders' Day student ball. They've just come from the alumni dinner, and as Mr. Merriweather observes...
Well, that certainly was the shortest dinner on record.
And the shortest faculty reception, and the shortest student chapel.
Now, don't tell me that Gaffer Livingston broke them up, too.
No, he most certainly did. He has a dislike for pompous occasions, which amounts to a phobia. The psychologists, I suppose, would call him a ceremony phobiac.
Oh.
Yeah, the psychologists, as opposed to those lovers of ritual who might be called fanfarophiles. I myself am an in-betweener. I am a sort of take-it-or-leave-itologist.
Yeah, well, put me up for membership in that. I've been an MC on several occasions, but I found that the best way to master a ceremony is to stay away from it. What did our guest do at the chapel?
Well, he acknowledged William's introduction with great charm and then said, if my memory serves me right, and it serves me good and right, you would all rather be outside than in here, so consider yourselves dismissed.
but they reconvened outside the door, where he stayed for 2 hours and captured their hearts completely.
Yeah, well, where's the little leprechaun now? You know, he moves faster at 91 than I did at 20. And I was known as Where'd-He-Go Merriweather.
Well, when I last saw him, he was engaged in light banter with a junior Phi Beta Kappa and the Ivy homecoming queen. And he had both of them in a delighted trance.
If I were only his age. It's terrible to be as young as I am. A callow 60.
Well, age is a matter of outlook, not years, Mr. Merriweather. And as long as you can still get out and look, you're young. Uh-oh, here comes the oldest living alumnus.
Hey, what are you folks standing around here for? Like last summer's constable. Why don't you dance with the president's wife, son?
Mr. Livingston, for somebody to call me son is so refreshing, I'd burst into a Charleston if the floor wasn't so crowded. Praise be.
Well, just because you're on the board of governors, boy, don't mean you can't relax. I got a theory that sitting around a boardroom table does something to the character.
Well, I've heard it said that the difference between a chairman and the rest of the board is that the motion goes through the membership and the chairman just goes through the motions.
Anyway, Mr. Livingston, Mr. Merriweather did ask me to dance and I told him I was saving this one for you.
Oh, no, no. Thanks anyway, girlie. Can't dance this kind of dancing. Just isn't sociable. Well, dancing isn't dancing unless everybody joins in. These kids don't know what real fun square dancing is.
Oh, but they do, Mr. Livingston. We have weekly square dancing sessions at the social hall. Every student has blue jeans or a calico dress and can do-si-do with the best of them.
Is that right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, well, sir, you're looking right at the finest fiddler this side of the Ozarks. Known at home as the Heifetz of the Hayloft.
Wonderful. Oh, dear, what should we do for a caller? Mr. Merriweather, do you think you...
Oh, no, not me, ma'am, no. Maybe one of the students. Oh. Wait a minute. I know the best caller east of the Great Divide, if I may use the term so soon after March 15th.
Now, what's he up to now?
Oh, something outrageous, I'm sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, scholars, members of the Student Council and gatecrashers. Our distinguished guest, Mr. Silas Livingston, is, by his own admission, a gifted square dance fiddler who has put more turkeys in the straw than Kane's warehouse, which is a theatrical joke for Mrs. Hall and myself only. So line up your sets and bow to your lady. We're going to square dance.
I wonder who's going to call.
And for a caller, friends, as the cream rises to the top, we skim this one right off the lip of the separator. For our caller, I call upon Dr. William Todhunter, Tex Hall.
Oh, no. No, really, I couldn't. Good heavens, I don't.
Come on, Charlie. Come on, it's a splendid idea.
Not me, please. Yes. Vicky has finished.
Come on, Bill, come on. You've been elected unanimously.
No, I'm sorry, Charles. It's a little out of my... Oh, no. After all, I...
Not bashful, are you, son?
No, it isn't that. It's just that I don't... I mean, for small faculty parties, perhaps, but...
All right, Bill. I'll see who else I can find.
Oh, well, Charles, if you insist, of course. string your fiddle, Mr. Livingstone.
Yippee!
Ready, Mr. Fiddler?
Yeah, ready as you'll ever be. Let her rip.
Yeah.
Now honor your partner, lady on your left. All join hands and circle left. Slow roll back about the mile, lady in the gentleman mile. First couple of waves to the right, four hands round with all your might. Circle four around the town, birdie in the cage and three hands round. Now the birdie flies out and the crow hops in. Three hands up and you're gone again. Crow hops out with the right hand cross, back with the left and don't get lost. Break to your corner, how are you? Partner less than a howdy do. Chicken in the bread pan, picking up gravel. One more change and on you travel. Now on to the next in circle four.
Ah, that was good, Vicky, my darling. I can understand now the full meaning of giving a condemned man a hearty breakfast. It prepares one for any eventuality.
Who's condemning you and for what?
Well, I'm afraid, my dear, that some of our more straight-laced board members might take exception to my public exhibition last night. I wonder if I did the right thing.
Well, of course you did. You were perfectly splendid.
Oh, I don't think I... After all, I had never... Was I really?
Well, you most certainly were. Everybody thought you were the greatest thing since Paul Bunyan. And if Bunyan isn't the... Bunyan isn't the patron saint of the square dance, he should be.
Well, square dancing is a social release. It gives otherwise shy and retiring people an opportunity to kick up their heels, bow from the waist, curtsy and sashay. In mock seriousness, they are acting as pioneers. And at last, for a brief time, they regained the mutual shoulder-to-shoulder, hand-in-hand group spirit of their frontier forebears. It is this group spirit which... Do you think if I write this out in pamphlet form that Arthur Murray would buy it?
Let's sell it to the Board of Governors first, shall
we? Good point, yes. But as an American institution, I don't see how Ivy's governors could frown upon a square dance on Founders Day.
Oh, what's a frown? Just a couple of eyebrows getting together for a little gossip.
After all, our country was born to the ribald tune of Yankee Doodle. John Henry laid steel rails with a 30-pound hammer in his hand, singing she'll be coming round the mountain when she comes.
Woo, woo!
Blow the man down, they shouted, going around the horn. And drill, ye terriers, drill, as they cut through mountains. And when they spread out in the lonesome wilderness, they sang, Yippee-i-o-ki-ay! Well, can you tell me why our Yippee-i-o-ki-ay isn't just as pretty as your Hey Nonny Nonny?
I mean, offhand, I don't really know whether... Oh.
Yes? Oh, yes, Mr. Wellman, this is Dr. Hall, also known as Tex Hall. I most certainly did, and I do not consider it undignified. No, Mr. Wellman, I did not ask Mr. Livingston for any money. He has sufficiently enriched the college by his visit. He is leaving this morning with the official thanks of Ivy College. I'm sure that you will wish to join in such an expression to our oldest alumnus. Yes, Mr. Wellman. Goodbye.
Good for you. I was standing up for your grand right and left.
I hope I didn't stand up for them so loudly as to waken Mr. Livingston.
Oh, it'd take more than a phone call for that, I'm afraid. He was so tired last night, he couldn't lift his chin off his fiddle. Wasn't he wonderful, though, Tom?
Yes, in many ways, he was a tonic for all of us.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to hear so bright and early in the morning.
Good morning, sir. Good morning.
I hope we didn't wake you up, Mr. Livingston.
Oh, I've been awake and about for some time. Had to get my packing done.
Want some coffee?
Thank you, Miss Hall. Thank you. Yes, sir, I've been up there listening to everything you said. It's the privilege of an old man to snoop now and then. Sometimes the only way to hear good things. this has been the nicest 2 days of my life, Dr. Hall. And I'm grateful to Ivy. I want to do something in return.
Oh, Mr. Livingston...
No, just a minute. The one thing I missed at Ivy when I was here was a proper agricultural course. Now, Ivy's got one, but it's not complete. Dr. Hall, here's the deed to my modern, completely equipped 500-acre farm with all its pedigreed livestock to be used as an experimental farm for the ag school.
Absolutely wonderful.
I made it out to Ivy before I came here, just in case. But after last night, and after your little speech this morning, I'm sure it's just what I want to do.
The Livingston Experimental Farm. On behalf of the students of Ivy who will benefit, our most heartfelt thanks, Mr. Livingston.
Well, now I better be getting home. I'm going to stay with my son, a young whippersnapper of 70 who's badly in need of a guiding hand. There's the Twiggy's bench, you know. Well, excuse me. I'll go get my valise.
Well, there goes a good kid.
Yes, a grand old young man. As Cicero said, for as I like a young man in whom there is something of the old, so I like an old man in whom there is something of the young. And he who follows this maxim in body will possibly be an old man, but he will never be an old man in mind.
The Halls of Ivy, on Tuned to Yesterday from January 27th, 1950 on NBC. And that wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Thanks for tuning in.